Before we start, thank you to Bounty, the quicker picker-upper, for sponsoring this episode of More Than That. There's nothing in life more important to me than family.
When I just think of family, man, I just get, like, my heart could literally just burst.
For me, family is a soul tie, not blood. It's a soul tie that you are connected and bonded for life.
For some of us, family feels different. It's our chosen friends. It's the tribe that is there for us in highs and lows.
I define family as a unit of people who share unconditional love.
A community that allows you to be your most authentic self, even like the ugly side, and still love you through it.
Well, I know when I'm around it, it makes me feel, you know, comfortable. I feel accepted.
And for some of us, our huge families make life better or more complicated.
You can have family and you not like them. So it doesn't always have to be all glitter and rainbows, right?
And for others, small families are the reason why you are able to get up every single day and why you do what you do.
I was raised by a single mother. So when I think about family or how I really feel more so like that feminine love, because that's what I experienced. She always like came into every single room from a place of love, from a place of just pure kindness. And like, she gave the best hugs.
So on this episode of More Than That, we're showing some reverence for family history. I actually have two members of my own extended family here with us today. Kadeen and DeVal Ellis are joining us to talk about families and all of the things they are learning and have learned from their own families as they raise these four beautiful boys that we just all love to follow and celebrate. First of all, Kadeen and DeVal, how are you?
Hey, G, we tired, girl. You know, can you tell? Tired. Okay, you don't matter. It doesn't matter the time of day. It doesn't matter, you know, if the baby might have slept for a couple hours. It's like a backed up tiredness.
Yeah.
Like a reserve that we have going on. So we tired, but we blessed this. Can't complain.
Very blessed. Very blessed. So I remember going to Kadeen's 35th in Jamaica.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
One of the best parties ever.
It was so good.
And what I loved seeing was your family, like literally, Kadeen, you have flown out. Everybody was in the building. And then DeVal, your family was there too.
Yeah.
And watching you all as a unit, as a Black family unit, was one of my favorite things, because I come from a strong family like that too, with great parents on both sides, but then also they have great villages.
Yeah. And for me, I will always say, and I will always sing the praises of our tribe and our village, because DeVal and I would never be able to do the things that we do if it weren't for our families.
Like, thanks.
We can't sit with you, Gia, and talk without a baby because someone's, you know, upstairs. And I always say, if it's not DeVal and I that are going to be home with our four boys, the next best thing is going to be our parents or siblings or some sort of family members.
So, you know, I think we know what you all give us as entertainers and as a family. But I want to know a little bit about how you all were raised. What was it like being in your household as a little girl? What do you remember the most?
Oh, my goodness. I do remember so many things growing up as a child. My mom from Jamaica, my dad from St. Vincent, both hardworking immigrants who came up from their respective islands and came to America at young ages. So growing up as a child, I do remember both of my parents being very hardworking. And that's something that they always instilled in me, to have ambition and to go for what I wanted. I wanted to make sure that they were able to be proud of me. And my parents gave me every opportunity to do that, from dance school to pageants to, you know, martial arts, whatever it was that we were interested in. They gave us the opportunity. So I felt like I was in debt to them and I had to be the best version of Kadeen that I could be for them. So there was very little room for, like, you know, entertaining boys. Like when DeVal first came around, even though I was 18, my mom was like, yeah, I'm not really trying to hear that. You could have walked through the door with Jesus himself and I wouldn't have cared.
DeVal, tell me about your upbringing. I know both of y'all from New York. So
yeah, Brooklyn, son.
Yeah.
I grew up different than Kadeen. It's funny, our family dynamics look the same, right? So we both grew up with our parents. I'm the oldest of three. We both have a younger brother and a younger sister. She grew up with Caribbean parents. I grew up with Southern parents. Both my parents are from the South. My father, Orangeburg, South Carolina, and my grandmother from Virginia. So my parents raised us to be extremely independent, right? I was a latchkey kid from the time I was 9. When I really think about my childhood, I was extremely independent and I had to learn a lot on my own. Both my parents worked 9 to 5, so I always watched them work. And then my pops always kept a second job. So it was like, yo, you're going to have to put your big boy drawers on and do what you got to do. So from the time I was 9, I always kind of felt like I had a son because I was raising my brother. Like it was me and my little brother in the house. And then our sister was 10 years younger than me. So I felt like I always had kids. So I felt like I was a grown little person, you know, like I just always disappointing my family was always of the highest thing that I thought about. I can't disappoint my parents or my aunts and my uncles. And I was raised by a village in Flatbush. Like my aunt lives in Flatbush, but my other aunt lived in Bed-Stuy. And I literally used to be on the bus or the train going from house to house every weekend. Just where was the food? Where were my cousins? And I just lived in all of Brooklyn, taking a train, taking a bus. And that's how I learned how to maneuver and navigate, you know, avoided some tough situations, got myself in some tough situations. But I think about who I am now, and that's part of the reason why I've been successful is because of the way I was brought up.
Total opposites. My mom was like, girl, you can't go to the corner store by yourself because, you know, it's a couple feet away and I can probably see you over there, but anything can happen. So no, stay in this house. You're not going anywhere. I was literally in a bubble. Yeah. And he was all outside.
Yeah. So you all talked about how your families are from the Caribbean, the Caribbean, and the South. But Those are two very strong and two very different cultures. So how does that translate as you guys are creating meals and food within your own family right now? How are you carrying that?
Yo, let me tell you something,
Gia. We eat all the things.
At our house, it is a smorgasbord, a cornucopia of taste and spices every time we get together. Because
oh, man.
When we do Thanksgiving, for example...
Envision the plate.
I'm already there.
You got your turkey, right? Mm-hmm. You got your roast beef, right? Mm-hmm. That's just, you got your cranberry sauce. You got your sweet potato pie. That's normal, right? Mm-hmm. But then we're going to throw in some oxtail.
Wow.
We're going to throw in some roast fish, mm-hmm. some curry goat, mm-hmm. some curry chicken. Mm-hmm. And in the morning for breakfast, we're going to make ackee and saltfish.
There we go.
Like and then for Christmas, for breakfast, we're going to have grits, mm-hmm. bacon and eggs, mm-hmm. honey butter biscuits. And when our house is everything, when people come over, they be like, yo, y'all really make everything.
Yes. It's funny. Just like 2 days ago, I had made some smothered chicken. So I learned from DeVal's side of family how to make smothered chicken.
Yes.
Which was a staple in his household.
Hold on.
Break it down.
Let me break it down for people. Mm-hmm. When you're from a Southern roots,
that's right.
And you married a Caribbean woman, and she takes the time to learn how to make your mother smothered chicken, potato salad, mm-hmm. macaroni salad.
Mm-hmm. Sure
did. Does something for y'all. Now I know. This woman loves me. You made my mama salad? She made my mama salad.
So it's funny because when both sides of families cross, it's like when they come to visit I gotta make the other side's food because the other side wants to taste the other side. You know what I mean?
The great part about it too is like, you know how traditionally the women will be in the kitchen and then the men. No. I'm glad we got a big kitchen now. The whole family. Her father, my father, her mother, my mother, her brother, me, her sister. We all in there just make, what did you make? What did you make? Let me taste this. Did you taste that?
And everybody has their specialty too, which is good. Because I love, my sister makes something, my brother makes his specialty. And then everybody has their thing that we love. So when the plate gets together and you get that bite and that bite slap,
what the bite do?
Slap.
Black folks, the way they be telling stories, bruh, it's like, we're such phenomenal storytellers. It don't even be that funny, but the fact that everybody be so weak and laughing so hard, everybody else can't help but to laugh.
I just remember a house filled with music. I remember a house filled with laughter. And so I just remember feeling just so loved. I really felt like I was everyone's kid in the neighborhood.
She would have these massive 4th of July cookouts at her house in D.C. She and my godfather would just literally invite the whole neighborhood. That's what it felt like. All of D.C. was in the building, and my god sisters and her would make sure that there was so much food to go around. Family is everything, and we come together in the kitchen. We love, laugh, learn, and grow here. And you always have a seat at our table. It's where we share our stories, reminisce on old memories, and make new ones. From Auntie's laugh to Grandma's sage advice over good food, I live for moments like that. Sharing recipes, cooking our little hearts out, making messes, and doing it all over again because, hey, life's messy, but we keep it pushing. As family, we're stronger together and bonded forever. And it doesn't get any more real than that. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
I lost my mom 2 years ago, right before COVID happened, and it rocked my world. My mom would wear pearls all the time, and I thought, for one, like, pearls are cute, but, you know, they're kind of associated with the, like, old lady granny sort of jewelry. But now, they just mean so much to me, and they're very significant. So I think I will always have a set of pearls. I will always look up to the sky when I see, you know, a hawk and just, you know, feel her covering me.
My grandfather actually was one of the first black men to have a chain of businesses out here in South Chicago. So that started up my mother doing it. She's influenced by my grandfather. She's, you know what I'm saying, she wrote a book that lists all of the statues in the United States that commemorate African Americans.
My grandmother bought me a Polaroid camera. That was like the first camera I had, and it was so cool because you snap the picture and the picture just comes out. And you know, when my grandma actually bought me the camera, that allowed me to actually do that. I was able to actually start my own photo album.
My godmother looked like love incarnated. She was a caramel silky brown and had beautiful light brown hair. And I remember that she would always give the best hugs. She was one of the first people that I actually went to without any hesitation. She always taught me to love despite the hardness of anyone's outer shell. And I carry that with me today. Who do you think was the most influential on you growing up? And if you could, what piece of advice just sticks with you to this day from that person?
I would say my grandmothers were the most influential on me, Kadeen, who I am today. I was super, super close to my dad's mom, my grandma Joseph, and she passed away, so many years now, about 12 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the compassion and generosity that I have for people and wanting to help people comes from my grandmother on my dad's side. Just the little things that I think our generation just kind of takes for granted, that desire to want to serve your partner or to serve your spouse or to be of service to someone who you're in a relationship with. Like, those are things that I saw as a kid growing up and I valued. And I think it's something that really helps the Val and I in our relationship now. And it also helps as we parent, and it helps with our boys because they just know that regardless of what, you know, mom is here or, you know, Kadeen, my wife, is here. And I want to raise strong black men. I have four boys that I'm raising, four black men. And I feel like, you know, yes, they need their father to be in their life as a strong figure, but they're going to need their mom too, because my black men need to have that refuge. They need to seek refuge at home. And I take that very, very seriously. That's, it's very important to me. So my grandmothers have definitely, I call on my grandmother from my mom, but oh my God, I want to get emotional. My grandmother on my dad's side, because she and I were so, so close. And I think of her often. Sorry, this wasn't supposed
it's
to be.
Okay. It's okay. You are more than I get it. I get it. Those people never leave our hearts. And I think that's what's coming up for you. Is like, she's speaking through you right now, sis. All that stuff you talking.
What's funny is when Kadeen and I first started dating, we spent a lot of time at her grandmother's home, because her grandmother's home was the go-between her parents and my parents. Here's a quick little caveat people don't know. Me and Kadeen's mom didn't talk for 2 years while we were dating. Mm-hmm. Like, we had a moment where we did not talk. I refused to go to her parents' house. So we used to go to her grandma's house and we used to spend time there. And she was a sweet woman. Yeah. And
she loved you.
She loved me. Yeah, she did love me to death. Yeah. And I loved her to death. So I know I can understand these tears, mm-hmm. because she was our refuge when we were going through it. you know, with her mom, which now that I have kids, I completely understand why her mom was the way she was. Because we were 18 and we were reckless. I understand where her mom was coming from. At the time, I didn't, but now I do.
So. Yeah.
Sometimes you just need somebody who can give you that soft landing space. And I understand, for me, that was my godmother who passed from cancer about 3-4 years ago. And sometimes when I go on TV, I'll be like, look, godmommy, we did it, girl. I'm here. We outside. Yes. Like, I know you watching. But I do want to know, you know, there is something so beautiful about watching you all, I'm sure from your parents' point of view, become parents. And so what intentional legacy that you got from your parents are you really making sure that you're carrying on in the parenting style, but also lessons that you want your boys to continue to carry from the legacies of how you and your family grew up and were raised?
This is easy for me because I was just talking to another Black father about this. And I just remember watching the men in my life be providers, protectors, but also tell the generation that came after them they need to be better than them. And I want to do the same thing for my boys. It don't matter how much money and how much your dad has, you have a responsibility to be better than me and then pay it forward and make sure that your son is better than you. If there's one lesson that I want my kids to listen to me about, it is that. Because my grandfather made it better so that my father was better than him. My father made it that I'm doing better than him, and I'm going to make it so that my sons are doing better than me. But I'm not going to make it so that it's easy and they don't remember to teach their sons to be better than them. So that's the lesson I want to teach my boys.
That's so dope. I love that. That is really good. Beautiful.
One thing that my family always instilled in me is to whatever it is that you're doing, if you are in a position or an opportunity to help someone, do that. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I take very, very seriously because I know that I have not gotten to the point where I am in my life without someone else's assistance or someone else's help or someone else's just good word or someone else's prayer, someone else's encouragement. So I want to make sure that my boys know that they are blessed.
Yeah.
I want them to make sure that they understand that having just a general respect for people is very, very important. Just being, you know, good men, you know, being men that have respect for others is huge for me. But the paying it forward part is very important because I feel like if you were blessed in an abundance, that you have the duty to then be a blessing to others. So
absolutely. I think they work hand in hand because, you know, we do teach the boys that you have a fiduciary responsibility to take care of your community when you live in abundance. My grandparents kept the neighborhood kids in their house at all times. My parents kept the neighborhood kids in their house. Mm-hmm. We keep the neighborhood kids in our house. Like that's just part of our family's legacies, both your family and mine, is to be part of the community because we've all been blessed in abundance. And being blessed and living in abundance doesn't always have a monetary value.
Yeah.
You can be blessed and live in abundance with love because the collective is always stronger than the individual. So when you think about family, family is the collective, the soul ties of the collective that are working together to not only make yourselves better individually, but make the world a better place in general.
Yeah.
You all are such blessings and visions of what family can look like for so many of us. So we are just so thankful for the ways you love on your boys, but also you share that love with your community within yourselves as a couple and then within your family. So thank you for being here on our episode about family. We love you. I love y'all so much. I want to thank our guests for joining me on today's podcast. Listening to Deval and Kadeen share their family lessons reminded me of the intentionality behind my upbringing and reinforced my appreciation for family and home. We learned a lot today, from the importance of sharing traditions, to learning how to parent, to holding space for your children to thrive. Our family teachings serve as the first steps we take in this long journey called life. In fact, I'd like to dedicate this episode to my godmother, whose memory I carry with me every moment of every day. Next week, join us as we lean into another type of lesson, one about sustainability. Remember to check out the show notes for all of the resources mentioned in the show. Once again, thank you to Bounty, the Quicker Picker Upper, for sponsoring this episode. We appreciate you for always being there. Don't forget to hit subscribe, give us a good rating, and follow us at More Than That Show on all platforms.